September 30th. As I correct the typewritten pages and admire their stylistic beauty, Jesus says, "Observe, Maria. If I had given you just beautiful pages, in literary terms, I would not have given you anything. Nothing useful, nothing with real value. I would have given you some music. And one of those empty, light pieces of music too, which caress the ear alone, but do not prompt select thoughts in those listening to them. For there is music which is prayer, instruction, and elevation to contemplation in the supernatural domain, music in whose notes there truly vibrates and shines forth, not so much human genius, but the power of God, man's creator. Man's genius is only the means to witness to the power of God, who created him with intelligence and reason, in addition to spirit and flesh and blood. Human genius is simply the reply given to the supporters of evolutionary theories maintaining that current man is just a beast that has evolved in a slow ascent from animality to humanity. Man's genius is simply the reply given to the deniers of creation, and, therefore, of God the Creator, the heretics upholding the autogenesis of the universe. Human genius is simply the reply given to the atheists. Human genius is the confession that God exists, and that everything exists, because he wills it. Light, life, elements, intellect, everything. But I am speaking about empty music. I would compare my pages to this, if they were just the harmony of words and stylistic perfection. But there is wisdom in them. My wisdom. There is truth. My truth. There is charity in them. My charity. There is God, then. That is why they have value. And woe to those who fail to seek and find therein this true value of theirs. I know the objection by many. Jesus spoke simply. In the parables I spoke simply because I was addressing crowds of common folk. But when I spoke to cultured minds, Israelite or Roman or Greek, I spoke as was most appropriate for perfect wisdom. My words, moreover, in the versions of the evangelists, just two of whom were apostles, and if one observes closely, they are the two gospels most clearly mirroring me, for Luke's, good stylistically, may be better termed the gospel of my mother and my childhood, abundantly narrating details in relation thereto which the others do not narrate, rather than the gospel of my public life, being more an echo of the others than a new light, as is that of John, the perfect evangelist of the light who is Christ the God-man. The versions, I was saying, of my words when greatly reduced by the evangelist, to the point of being diminished to a skeleton, more an illusion than a version, a fact which deprives them of the stylistic form which I had given them. The teacher is in Matthew, see the Sermon on the Mount, the instructions for the apostles, the praise of the Baptist and the rest of this chapter, the first episode in chapter 15 and the heavenly sign, divorce in chapter 19, and three other chapters, 22, 23, and 24. The teacher is in the luminous Gospel of John, above all, the apostle in love, fused in charity with his Christ the light. Compare what this Gospel reveals about the power of Christ the orator to what is displayed in this regard by the essential scantiness of Mark's Gospel, precise in the episodes he had heard from Peter, but reduced to a minimum, and you will see whether I, the Word, used only a very humble style, or whether the power of the perfect Word did not often flash forth in me. Yes, it shines out in John, though quite reduced in a few episodes. Now, if to little John I have wanted to grant an increase in knowledge of me and my teaching, why should this make you incredulous and obstinate? Open up. Open your intellects and hearts, and bless me for what I have given you.